The word today is Sinai. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. Every person needs rules by which they will live. Just as physical laws govern the physical universe, so also God has established moral laws. These laws were summarized and decreed from the heights of Mount Sinai. Here to explain the blessing that can come from accepting God's law is Bible educator Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Sinai.
Another mountain in the Old Testament that we're going to stop and pause at today is Mount Sinai. We've been talking lately about the different mountains in Israel, and there is Mount Moriah, where Abraham was tested to offer up his son Isaac, and it foreshadowed the coming of Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God, who was sacrificed for our sins, whereas Abraham did not have to slay his son. We also have the Mount Carmel experience with Elijah, who had a confrontation and a showdown between himself and nearly 1,000 false priests of idols. And the Lord showed a glorious victory in that instance. Well, right at the moment, let's think about Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai, if we could put it into one word, stands for the law, or for the rules that God gives by which we are to live. I remember playing games with my children, board games or basketball or whatever game you wish. There are rules which the game is played by. If you violate the rules, there is a penalty. In much the same sense, life is very straightforward when it comes to morality. There are universal rules that God has given for mankind to play our lives out. If we violate one of these rules, there will be a penalty to be paid. It's just that simple. A lot of people think that God gave his laws in order to restrict us or in order to cause us grief and kind of keep us from having fun. That's not it at all. God doesn't want to see us harming ourselves morally, spiritually, socially. He gave his laws first to Israel and then to the whole earth through Israel so that we could be blessed and so that we could have joyous lives. The problem is we're sinners, and we tend to, in our evil nature, want to break God's will and his rules and get away with it. And yet, like I said, there's a price to pay. Just like the law of gravity, moral laws are absolute. If someone were to climb into a tree and to be 15 feet up and say, "I don't believe gravity exists, therefore I'm going to jump out of this tree and not get hurt." Well, they'd be a fool to do so, because we all know gravity does work and it influences the person. And if they jumped, they would end up hurting themselves. Well, in the same sense, when people try to flaunt God's will, when they try to live contrary to his dictates in Exodus chapter 20, where we see the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, God has his reasons for his laws, such as you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery. And he wants us to avoid being hurt and hurting others, and also to honor him because he is the giver of life. Well, on Mount Sinai, these laws were given, and sometimes I think it's kind of cute. People wonder, why was Moses up on Mount Sinai for 40 days? And to some people, this is a great mystery. If Moses comes down from Mount Sinai carrying only two tablets of stone, and by the way, these couldn't have been monstrously large tablets if you think it through. How much stone weighs, they likely could not have weighed more than a few pounds each, probably had very simple inscriptions on them. Well, it doesn't take 40 days for God to write 10 statements on stone, And it doesn't take 39 and a half days for Moses to carry him down the hill. So why is the man up there about a month and a half? The answer is very simple and very straightforward. In the rest of the book of Exodus and in Numbers and Deuteronomy, in fact, the book Deuteronomy means a second recounting of the law. Well, the reason Moses was up there so long is because in addition to the 10 statements in the Hebrew, or the 10 commandments as we know it in other languages, God was filling Moses' mind with additional rules, with additional demands and commands that God was giving to Israelites. He took them out of slavery where they did not have to have an organized society. They were living under the society of the Egyptians. But when God brought them out into his freedom and deliverance, he needed to give them the rules, the guidelines for being his nation, his people. And included in that were not only the 10 statements or commandments, but also political and social laws, laws regarding ceremonies and worship and things of this nature, things that would cover topics as far ranging as social relationships to medical issues. The reason was because God redeemed his people. He saved them from Egypt, and he wanted them to live as his people. Now, that basic concept of living as God's people calls for us then, for anyone who wants to know the true God, to live according to his will. You can't say, I'm God's person, and that I really love the Lord Jesus Christ, and then proceed to live in conflict with everything he wishes. You know, that'd be like trying to tell your spouse, your wife or husband, that I really love you and you're very important to me, but I'm not going to abide by anything you say, and I'm just going to flaunt my independence. Well, that's nonsense. When you really love somebody and are concerned to establish a relationship with them, you're going to want to please them, and you're going to want to live in accordance with what they see as fitting. And so God has this great show of power and majesty on Mount Sinai in order to demonstrate he has the authority to give his rules for mankind. And you have a choice. You can pretend as though you are not subject to the moral laws of God, and you can be like that person in a tree that says, they don't apply to me, or I'm not going to be hurt if I don't buy into it. And you can proceed to violate God's will and see what happens. I guarantee you, at some point, you are going to be hurt very badly because you have violated the will of God. And God does not want that. He wants us to willingly comply with his will, to follow his laws willingly. And this is where another New Testament passage comes in handy in the book of Hebrews, where it talks about the law of God. And it's very beautiful because it describes how fearsome that initial encounter on Mount Sinai was, but contrasts it with the beauty and the peace that comes by knowing Jesus, who was sacrificed on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. Listen to this contrast in Hebrews 12. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I'm trembling with fear. That was Mount Sinai. Now listen now to the description of what we in faith in Christ have come to, Mount Zion, God's mercy and grace. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of the living God. you have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You see, the first covenant that was established under Moses on Mount Sinai was a covenant of consequences. If you obey, then you will be my people, and I will be your God. If they didn't obey, there would be curses, and then the covenant would be broken. Now, God was still faithful to that covenant because he really intended all along to send his Savior, Jesus. But under Jesus Christ, a new agreement, a new covenant, a relationship has been established. And this time, our motivation is not fear, is not worry over violating God's will and being punished. It's an inner motivation to serve God and to love God because of the love shown to us in Jesus Christ. And whereas the people that came to Mount Sinai were quaking with fear at seeing God's power and majesty, and they were almost humbled into submission, that is not the case for the Christian. And for anyone who truly wants to serve God with a pure heart, the motivation is out of thankfulness that God does not force us and compel us by his wrath and power, but he shows his love to us. And he wants us to respond to his love in Jesus Christ. And he wants the motivation not to come from commands on stone, but the desire of the human heart to love him from an inner motivation. And that's how the Holy Spirit wants you to live. You can live in violation to God's laws, but you're going to pay a price. And in the end, you'll be visited with God's wrath. He doesn't want that. He wants you to have a tender heart, a sincere heart, one who seeks to do his will. So consider this and offer your life as a sacrifice, as a gift to God, and follow his will out of love and not out of compulsion.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's The Word Today. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.